Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Throughout her career, the poet Sharon Olds has been asked if her poems were true or autobiographical. There are poems about mothering and domesticity and eroticism, filled with personal details and described with remarkable directness and insight. Sharon Olds has rejected the autobiographical characterization and resisted talking about her life while her children were young and her parents were alive. She even kept the dissolution of her 32-year marriage from the public, waiting for more than a decade to publish Stag's Leap, a collection that is being praised as the best book of her career, and earlier this month won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry. And Sharon Olds joins us now in the studio. Sharon, welcome to the program and congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Virginia. I'm very glad to be here.
What a great honor. Your husband left the marriage after 32 years together, what, in the late 1990s?
That's right.
So were you writing about it then, or did this all come flowing afterwards?
Like all my other poems, I think, I just write them whenever the feelings in them and the stories in them come up. Yes, so many of the poems in this book were written in 97, 98, 99. And then I would read them at readings. And then I would submit them to magazines. But I decided not to put them into a book. I actually told my grown-up children that I would not put them into a book for 10 years, just so they didn't have to be, thinking about literature mm-hmm. instead of their own lives.
Yeah. Did you revise them through the years? I mean, you come to some perspective in some ways at the end of the book or at the chronology that we see. I wonder if looking back you made any big changes in these poems.
I don't think I made any big ones. I wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of poems over 10 years on this subject. And no. What I have said is that when I revise poems, I try to take out half the adjectives and a third of the self-pity. So they will still have something to hold them together. But I chose the poems that I felt were working the best, and none of them required any big changes. That's just the way I write. It kind of all rushes out at the time.
Well, there's a remarkable lack of self-pity in this book I'd love to talk to you more about, but I'd love to hear a poem as well. Stag's Leap is on page 16, the title of the book. This is Sharon Olds reading the poem.
Stag's Leap. Then the drawing on the label of our favorite red wine looks like my husband casting himself off a cliff in his fervor to get free of me. His fur is rough and cozy, his face placid, tranced, ruminant. The bow of each furculum reaches back to his haunches. Each tine of it grows straight up and branches, like a model of the brain, archaic, unwieldy. He bears its bony tray level as he soars from the precipice edge, dreamy. When anyone escapes, my heart leaps up. Even when it's I who am escaped from, I am half on the side of the lever. It's so quiet and empty when he's left. I feel like a landscape, a ground without a figure. Sauve qui peut. Let those who can save themselves save themselves. Once I saw a dry point of someone tiny being crucified on a fallow deer's antlers. I feel like his victim, and he seems my victim. I worry that the outstretched legs on the heart are bent the wrong way as he throws himself off. Oh, my mate, I was vain of his faithfulness, as if it was a compliment rather than a state of partial sleep. And when I wrote about him, did he feel he had to walk around carrying my books on his head like a stack of posture volumes or the rack of horns hung where a hunter washes the venison down with the Sauvignon? Oh, leap, leap, careful of the rocks. Does the old vow have to wish him happiness in his new life, even sexual joy? I fear so at first, when I still can't tell us apart. Below his shaggy belly in the distance lie the even dots of a vineyard, its vines not blasted, its roots clean, its bottles growing at the ends of their blowpipes as dark green wavering groans.
That's Sharon Olds reading the poem Stag's Leap from the collection called Stag's Leap. This is a Pulitzer Prize-winning collection of poems. Just stunning. You know, it's funny, what hit me the first time I read this poem was, when anyone escapes, my heart leaps up. Even when it is I who am escaped from, I am half on the side of the lever. That's stunning to me.
I think it's the voice of someone who, like most of us, has had things that she wished to escape from. And therefore, oh, something's free. So she identifies with that freedom. And then, uh-oh, something's free of me that I had not wished to be free of.
But this time, hearing you read this poem, there was something else. It was, about the faithfulness. Oh, my mate, I was vain of his faithfulness as if it was a compliment rather than a state of partial sleep. This kind of regard for the self and the other person at the same time strikes me there.
Well, I think we really try to understand ourselves and each other. A big event like an end of a long marriage is a great time to learn stuff about yourself that you never really wanted to know. But then afterwards, you see that it helps you to know the actual.
Well, you say that now, and there is, I thought, a remarkable lack in this film. In this book of, you know, when we read about the dissolution of a marriage and somebody recovering herself, there is this almost. You want to be saying, you go, girl, you know, but there's not that in this book necessarily because you're so self-reflective. You are so forgiving of your mate on some level. In fact, there's a part of me that wanted to shake you by the shoulders and say, why can't you let go of him?
Right, right. A lot of people have said that. I am in touch with all of the points of anger and bitterness in the book. I think there's plenty of them.
Yes, you're right.
But it's true. This goes along with all of my books, and especially the poems of childhood, with extreme attachment to dangerous individuals. Mm-hmm. So it's a part, it's not like a how to do it. Let's not be bitter. I think bitterness and rage are probably very healthy, but this was just not at all, what do they call it, prescriptive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, just what happens to be one imperfect person's story.
Right, this is not a self-help book on getting over divorce.
No, that's right, that's right.
In fact, I was just remembering a bit of the anger. You say, my job now is to eat this entire car, you know, bite by bite until it's sort of ground down to dust or something. Forgive me for misquoting.
No, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is also about the shame of being left on some level, especially in the early stages of the book. You know, this man has known you for 32 years in such a deep way. And so it feels like some reflection of being left rather than, you know, him pursuing a life that he needs to pursue, which it seems that you come to. And I'm wondering about that. Was that part of the decision not to let this book out there? Was it about the hurt? Was it about the shame? Were you protecting yourself rather than the children?
No. I don't think so. Of course, we never know. But I don't think so. Because as soon as one of these poems was written that I liked, I would read it at a reading. And somehow when it's art, I don't really feel as if it's about myself when I'm standing up there, though it's obvious that my work is autobiographical, always has been. I have no imagination. Or the imagination comes in on the wings of, or the boot, wearing the boots of the similes, the images. I keep thinking how nobody would sign up to be a member of the family of a family poet. Mm. It's not something, it's just something that happens. So I just figured that it would be a relief for my grown children to know that they weren't going to have to be experiencing this coming out as a work of art until 10 years had gone by, and then it turned out to be 15. Mm. And I'm happy about that.
I wonder, would you tell us what your family thinks, what your ex-husband thinks?
No, I wouldn't, because I have felt for many years, and that was partly behind why I used to say, I cannot say if my work is autobiographical or not. I never said it wasn't, but I just didn't want to talk about that aspect of it. I wanted to talk about, like, the similes and the lines and all that artistic stuff. But I felt that it was better for me not to talk about the people as people, since they already have to be, you know, characters in a book.
I wonder, are you still teaching at NYU?
I am. I've been teaching at NYU. I've just earned a little 25-year pin or binoculars. I chose the binoculars.
For your other life in New Hampshire, the binoculars?
Yes, yes. And also in New York, my apartment is on the Hudson River, so I see birds there as well. And then I see so much beauty here with the pond and the birds and the snow and all of that. But NYU has been a wonderful home for me to meet with the young and see what they're doing and talk to them about what they're doing.
Sharon Olds, a seer and a bringer of great beauty to all of us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Virginia. My pleasure.
We do have more on Sharon's book, Stag's Leap, a Pulitzer Prize winner now, at wordofmouthradio.org.